Hello, everybody. Great. So as Pete said, we're going to start this teaching series on the Holy Spirit. And basically, you know, thank you for those who filled out our teaching survey about the kind of things people want to look at. And we're taking all of those things on board. It's going to take us many years to cover everything that everyone wanted to be true. You know, people didn't just go for the simple topics, you know, they went for the hardcore topics. So I think we all need to work out what God is saying about those as well. But we're going to start this series on the Holy Spirit, which I think is really important. And I really feel that that is what the Holy Spirit is wanting us to look into this term. And one of the things that we're going to do one week as well, I can't remember off the top of my head which date it is. I don't know if Emma can remind me. We're going to show the latest movie from Darren Wilson. So those of you who've seen The Finger of God and Furious Love and those types, if you haven't seen them, then that doesn't matter. But we're going to be showing the latest one, which is called The Holy Ghost. And it's about a few people going on a journey around the world, just doing what the Holy Spirit tells them to do and what happens. And it'll be interesting for us to watch that together. So we're going to be doing that one Sunday. Emma, do you know which day it was? I can't remember. It's about a month's time, I think. It might be the 26th of October. Yeah, so we won't be, basically the whole morning will be taken up with watching that pretty much, and then afterwards we'll pray and see what God does off the back of that. So just to give you the heads up with that. So, you know, do you ever think to yourself, I wish that Jesus was here with me in physical form and I could just have a chat with him and he could explain stuff to me? Does anyone ever feel like this? Yes. You know, I often feel like it. I actually remember saying it to someone recently, I can't remember who it was, when there was some situation, I can't even remember what it was, something going on, and I was just like, oh, I just wish Jesus could just come. I think I might have been in the pub, actually, and just said, sit on this seat and tell me what to think, what to do. It would be amazing. And, you know, there's so many times when we can experience that and feel that. And this morning, we're going to look to what Scripture has to say in response to that yearning that we have for wanting Jesus in physical form to come talk to us. And so, if you just want to go with me in your Bibles to John 14, John chapter 14. Has anyone heard of a new translation that's just in the process of coming out called the Passion Translation? Yeah. Like, not all the books are released yet. They're releasing them one at a time, but you can get them on Kindle. And I really recommend it because it's really amazing. And I'm going to read you from that this morning. John's been released, the book of John. So we're going to go to verse 12. So John 14, verse 12. And so just to give you a bit of context for those of you who haven't looked at this passage before. This is Jesus talking to his disciples before he's about to go to the cross. So these are some of the last words that he's leaving with them before he goes to the cross and the resurrection, eventually goes back up to heaven. So let's just look at this passage, John 14, verse 12. I tell you this timeless truth, the person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, and even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. This is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. Loving me empowers you to obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Saviour, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me, and he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you will know him intimately because he will make his home in you and will live inside you. I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Soon I will leave this world and they will see me no longer, but you will see me because I will live again and you will come alive too. When that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father and you are one with me, for I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commandments. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. Then one of the disciples named Judas, not Judas the locksmith, said, Lord, that's what this translation says. Usually we would know that as Iscariot. Lord, why is it you will only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? Jesus replied, loving me empowers you to obey my words, and my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. But those who don't love me will not obey my words. The Father did not send me to speak my own revelation, but the words of my Father. I am telling you this while I am still with you, but when the Father sends the Spirit of holiness, the one like me who sets you free, he will teach you all things in my name. He will inspire you to remember every word that I've told you. Okay, so there's some key things that I feel the Holy Spirit wants to bring to us today. So just keep hanging in with me and it will all make sense as we get to the end. But before we start to look at this passage, I just want us to just consider a couple of things. I want to read a few quotes. Who has heard of Anne Hathaway? The actress Anne Hathaway. Those amazing films, Princess Diaries, The Devil Wears Prada, Bride Wars. Yay! Tom's not so sure. Les Mis, yes. I forgot about Les Mis. Maybe that will unite the room more. And she said this thing. Loneliness is my least favourite thing about life. The thing I'm most worried about is just being alone. And, you know, she said that, but that's probably something that a lot of people in humanity, a lot of human beings feel that way. It's that whole thing about loneliness. And then I just want to read this part of a blog called, a blog called Zen Habits. Sounds a bit bizarre to read that here, but it's quite a famous blog, and the guy who writes it is called Leah Babuta, and I just want to read the beginning of one of his blogs. A surprising number of people fear being alone, maybe just about all of us do to some extent. We fear being without a partner or friends and family. We fear travelling alone in strange places, lost without anyone to ask for help. We fear taking on life without help for fear of failure. This is natural, this fear of being alone. We've all felt it deep within us, though we try desperately to avoid this fear. And this is the cause of our misery. To avoid this fear of being alone, we will socialize endlessly, including on social networks and email. To avoid being alone, we'll end up with someone who isn't really good for us, just to have someone to cling to, someone to rely on. We'll eat junk food or shop to comfort ourselves, because these things are replacements for love. So this guy, who's not a Christian, I don't think, is just talking about, you know, the state of humanity, maybe something that connects with the way that we do life sometimes to avoid being alone. And, you know, again, I want us just to be bearing that in mind when we're looking at this passage, that that cry of the human heart and what is Jesus's response to that. So let's go back to our passage. And first of all, let's look at verse 12. So I'm going to just read it again from now from the New American Standard Version. And here it says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And what Jesus is talking about in this passage is the whole thing of Jesus, we all know, has been doing these incredible miracles. He's been encountering different people and restoring them, giving them hope, a future. Amazing things have happened around Jesus. And he's saying that you are going to do these things and even greater things because I go to the Father. And that the reason that will be is because through what Jesus does, accomplishes on the cross, his resurrection and then ascension back into heaven, through that it means that the barriers between God and humanity have been broken, and he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit is going to come and live inside every single human being who wants to say yes to be in relationship with God. So does everyone get that? I know that most of you probably know that anyway, but it's important for us to understand that Jesus was one person doing these things in the power of the Holy Spirit, but because of what he's going to accomplish on the cross with the resurrection, now the Holy Spirit is going to come and live inside of everyone who says yes to following Jesus. That's good, isn't it? Great. Yes, Helen. So that's why he can say greater works than me you'll do, because now a humanity is going to be unleashed who all have the Holy Spirit inside of them. It's not just Jesus by himself. It's good, isn't it? I love this. This is great. Okay. So that's my first thing I want to bring out. Now we're going to look at verses 18 to 20. We're going to be jumping around in this passage. So, again, just going to read those to remind you. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. Okay, so let's just think about this passage a little bit. So, you know, Jesus is saying that he's not going to leave us as orphans, okay? It's interesting that he chooses that word orphans. You know, I know that Tom's really got a thing about this at the moment, and he's going to be talking to us about this more in a few weeks. But, you know, it's that whole thing of Jesus knows he's just about to go to the cross. And he's going to be resurrected, but he's going to go back to heaven. And of course, his disciples are going to feel like, oh my goodness, we thought that you were part of bringing some crazy change. We've seen these amazing miracles happen, and now you've just gone and left us. We're all on our own. You know, that's how they're going to be feeling. They're not going to have the big picture understanding that we do now. They're going to be feeling on their own. And so Jesus is saying, you know, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. But he doesn't just say you're not going to be by yourself. He says you're not going to be orphans. And that's the whole thing of that understanding of the identity that God brings to us as sons and daughters of God. That it's more than just God being with us. But it's that we're part of his family. He's our Father. And all that that brings into who we are in making us safe and secure and giving us an inheritance. And that's a whole other topic which we'll be looking at as we go on through this thing on the Holy Spirit. But the next amazing thing that we see in this passage is if you look at verse 20. So he's talked about, you know, in a little while you'll no longer see me because he's gone back to heaven. But then he talks about in that day, so he's prophesying about in Acts when after Jesus is gone, the Holy Spirit's going to fall on them. They're going to receive the power. The Holy Spirit's now going to be living inside of them. He says, you will know that I am in the Father and you are in me. And it's this amazing thing that we get to be part of, is this thing that it's hard to get our heads around of the Trinity. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together, three persons but one, in this awesome relationship with each other of love and community of totally rooting each other for each other. You know, we all know how amazing it feels to be loved when you know that people are for you. Yeah? And Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit, they have that going on amongst them in a far greater way than we can probably comprehend. And the thing is, because now the Holy Spirit has been made available to come and live inside of us, we are now a part of, we are welcomed into that amazing Trinity, part of that amazing relationship of love and unity, that intimacy that they share. We are now invited into that. So when the Holy Spirit is inside of you, you are also part of this Trinity, which is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's hard to get our heads around, isn't it? Thanks, Matt. It's not just me. But it's something I encourage you just to meditate upon when you're spending time with God. You know, meditate on these passages and other passages and just ask the Holy Spirit just to kind of give you a greater understanding of that awesome thing that you are a part of. And so we get welcomed into that. So that's a good thing. Right, we're going to look at verse 25 and 26 then. Then we're going to get to my key point of this whole talk, okay? So